outside your own little realm that things are happening all over the world, and God wants to do it here. Again, I just count it an honor for your whole team to be here. We love you. We pray for you. And we support this ministry. We'd like to do even more. But I just want to tell you, thanks for being there. Thanks for being a friend and somebody to look up to who's staying the course. Brother Hogan, we'd like to invite you to come to this platform and give us the word of the Lord. Will you please give him a nice warm welcome this morning as he comes to share? Holy Ghost. Buenos dias. Hallelujah. Thanks for the hospitality and everything. Thank y'all for letting us come here. So, y'all's Broncos going to win or not? No, I asked a question. I didn't promise. Hallelujah. Everything you do it to the Lord, right? Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. So, was y'all able to do that PowerPoint? Who knows? Anybody know? You got it ready? Okay, well, just a minute, all right? I want to introduce my family. My oldest boy and his family is here. We're part of my, half the team had to leave this morning. Brother Jody and Cindy and Corbin, y'all stand up. Yeah. Hallelujah. We have a lady that's working with us from Germany, Ms. Birgit. Hallelujah. It's really amazing that God's given us people now from all over the world. We got teams coming from everywhere. And one family, Brother Carl and his family, would y'all please stand? Brother Carl Jukes, motorcycle rider. Yeah. And then the Holy Ghost got a hold of their life, changed them, turned them around, and that's a good thing. Happened to us too, that's good. Then they worked on a work in Whakatane, New Zealand. And I went there, and I believe that's where I first met them, their family. And then we went out in the Pacific Ocean and got those power shells. Y'all know them as abalone, I think. We dug them off with knives off the coral and brought them in, and then his wife fixed that. So you don't know about me, remember that, do you? But it was awesome. And through the years, the Holy Ghost has raised him up, and he's now over a large work. They work. They have churches all over New Zealand and 100 and something churches in New Zealand, and then several thousand churches in India and Asia and around the South Pacific realm and Africa. They're just preaching the gospel in Australia, everywhere. And we're good friends now, and their family's here. We're hosting them here in the United States for a while, and they're going around with us. Okay, that's what's happening. Good thing. See, God puts people together, and it's an awesome thing. All right, now I wanna go after something that's burning in me. I hope you enjoyed the nice calm front part. but see, here's the thing. All right, there's these kids I met back about. It was 1974. I was in the mission field. And I met these kids. I was driving down this really rough road, four-wheel drive only. And I was bouncing, man. Them little hats had them little knots on top of them. Man, I was putting dents in my truck. Remember, that was before they put that little soft thing in there now. It was metal. Boy, oh, man, it hurt my head. And there was these kids walking down the road hand in hand. I gave them a track. And they got born again. And now the guy's got his own grandkids. That's how old I am. is they were young people. They got married. They got saved in our churches. Now he's raised up, become a pastor. Now he's one of our directors. He's got his own grandkids. But the other day, you know, let me just tell you why we need to stick together in the Holy Ghost. Because the other day, you know, this man raises the dead. Claudio, how many churches is he over? 25 churches. Okay, I met him in the road, older teenager that, you know, fixed to get married. They get saved, and then here we are like 30 years later, and they got grandkids now and all of that, and he's over all these churches. He's an apostle. He works in apostolic power. But listen to me, even though God has raised this man up, put him in apostolic power, he raises the dead, heals the sick, it will. I mean, he's just an amazing individual. We all respect him highly. He's a good friend of ours. He helped me raise my kids. I mean, the whole thing, you know. And now Jody, my son Jody, works. They work together, he and Brother Claudio and some other directors. But he gives me a call. He sent word to me by a piece of paper. Because there's no telephones and such like that still. It's coming, but it's not all the way there yet. He said, Brother David, I need your help. My wife is dying. Now, this is a man that raises the dead. He oversees 25 of our churches. If you heard him preach, you'd fall on the floor weeping. He's an awesome, on fire man. But he needed us. We, the church, we need each other. All right, now I'm not talking about sloppy, agape, greasy grace, you know, huggy, kissy, slobber. I'm talking about when I got there, his wife was barely breathing. And I walked up in that house. You got your Indian hut. And I go walking up. These are my friends. These are people that we hazard our life for the gospel together. And I go walking up in there, and there she is, just, she's barely breathing. We pray for her. We pray for the family. We leave. I went out. We did a conference. And nothing happened. It got rough. I mean, it went right down to grace had to be applied to get us out of this ditch. And they asked me, they said, Brother Dave, we need you to go back by and pray. And I couldn't go. So I sent my handkerchief. Now watch this. I sent my handkerchief over there. Now watch what happened. We had already been by there. I carried the artillery with me. I had every elder, every director, all of us were there. We laid our hands on her in Jesus' name, and she got worse. See, that's where most modern Christians in this society bail on the faith. They call in the big guns, and it's just got to happen, and it don't. So, okay, let's do something else. Well, we don't have anything else to do. I don't know what to tell you, but there's no alternatives for us. Our alternative is the blood of Jesus. That's the end of it. There's nothing else. There's no other choices for us. And they carried this handkerchief in there. These guys walked in there with this handkerchief, laid it on this woman, and said, in the name of Jesus, the man of God that preached on this handkerchief, be healed. She sat right up healed by the blood of Jesus. Ain't that good? I like that. But see, it takes a whole lot of commitment, endurance, faithfulness, patience, discipline, diligence. Y'all hearing these new words? They're brand new words. You know, I know you know doubt and unbelief and tragedy and discomfort and distress. I know you know those words. But the Holy Ghost is looking for His church to rise up in power. And to do it, we are not going to get it done with distress and stress, duress, and words that the demon is putting on us. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. I'm fixing to show y'all some pictures in just a minute. I'm going to try to get him out. My son-in-law in here talk about it. I'm going to weep because God's letting me go around the planet and do things that it's just amazing what's happening. Just amazing. And it's so much fun to invade the kingdom of hell and watch them tremble at the presence of God. If you will, turn to 2 Timothy with me, please. I love doing this. Can you tell? Man, I really get off on this. I'm serious. Man. Did y'all see my wife bought me a brand new preaching suit for y'all? Man, I am pretty today. I got my best preaching shirt on today. I don't know how it's going to preach. We'll just have to find out. Great Holy Ghost. I want to read something with you in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I got three verse passages here I want to try to get to you. I don't know how much I'll get, but I start talking about them pictures. I don't know, man. It's just the power of God. It's phenomenal to me. Look here. I've been in this my whole life. Before I was ever born, my mama was carrying me to church. It's true. I'm a fourth generation preacher. My great grandpa preached for 55 years. My grandpa preached for 53 years. My daddy for 48. And here I got 30 something. I mean, it's pretty nice. That's a lots of years in the fam, you know. And here these kids are, you know, they've been running around with me now for, I don't know, how many years you've been out of Bible school, actually, in the actual doing it? 13 years. That's the fifth generation. Then you got the grandson sitting there, 6. But, you know, you say, well, it's God's choice for them. No, it's not. It's their choice. I'm going to raise them to raise the dead. If they don't do it, it's not my fault. Hello. Well, I don't agree with you, Brother David. I know I can tell. Your dope addict child is proof. Oops. You take them down and let them all babysit them for you. Yeah, go ahead. What do you think they're going to learn down there? They're going to learn how to be devils. That's my family sermon. I'll get off that and get back to what I'm talking about. You know, there was this family came down from St. Louis. They was in a big old mega church out there. And they worked with us a while. And this guy says, look, man, I need some help. But he said, I can tell right off you ain't going to be the one to help me. I looked at him. My wife and I love each other. We've been married, 35 years, right? Yeah, that's a long time. And, and our kids are all serving God, and, you know, and we've got good track record with the Holy Ghost. We're raising the dead, healing the sick, but then I can't give you counsel. And now you know what he does? He's divorced, his kids are in jail, and he owns a bar in Columbia, Missouri. Great counsel he took, wasn't it? We got to take the counsel of the Holy Ghost. We got to take the Word of God now. And it is hard in certain instances. And it is difficult because, you know, kids get jeered and different things happen. And people, they don't mean to be that way, but they're abusive. They're just full of devils, you know. But we got to walk this thing out, y'all. We have got to walk it out in the Holy Ghost. And if you've made some bad decisions, you know, it's not time to sit there and get on the floor and cry, God, I made bad decisions. It's time to rise up and repent for them and start making good decisions. In the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, understand this. This is the Amplified. That in the last days will come, they will set in perilous times. Have y'all looked around you lately? Perilous times are on us, y'all. I'm sorry that it hit our generation. I wish it would have been the next one or the next one. But it's us.
We want it like our daddies had it, and grandparents had it, and great. It's not that way. Oh, thank you very much, little brother. Where'd you come up with this? This is pretty good. Gracias, hermano. We want it like it used to be. Well, it's not going to be that no more. The wars and the rumors of wars and the attack on freedom and our way of life and other things are just, it's not going back. Time won't be reversed. So instead of moaning and complaining and whining, what you say, let's you and I get a grip and get an understanding. Perilous times are here. Let's face the truth. Let's don't act like it's not happening. Let's don't go to our four walls and build a bigger cedar fence and a better manicured lawn and just say, it's not going to hit, it's not going to affect me. It will come inside your yard. We've got to defeat it. And you defeat it with faith, not fear. Come on, Holy Ghost. Great distress and trouble, hard to deal with and harder to bear. There's some of you sitting in here, I'll tell you, if these problems could break your shoulders, you'd be straight flat down to your feet. I mean, these things are on us, aren't they? I'm sitting here, I go out and raise the dead and heal the sick. I go home and 50 new demons have risen up over the horizon and are attacking us. Sometimes I just want to sit, go down out in my grandkids' playpen I built for them and just throw sand on my head and cry. But instead, I get up and get the weed eater and clean up the playpen so they can have a great time. Because it's not going to last forever, is it? So I might as well be an example of how to take care of stuff and bless people. Isn't that right? Come on. Come on. I have met some of the greatest people. I'm fixing to show you some of the greatest people alive on the planet today. And I'm going to prove to you that your life is not as bad as you think you've got it. Those demons you face are real. They're different than the other places where they're more vivid, though. They're more subtle. They're more let you have your way a little bit and then just take you away by making you such a great success. Your blessings have become a disturbance. An estorbo, Jody. Estorbo. Huh? Stumbling block. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with your nation. But that's no reason for you not to rise up and be a good soldier. Do you understand I'm an American? I've got three or four passports, so. Different nations. It's awesome. How'd you get them? I don't know. Government's offered them to me. What do you think? I'm going to turn them down? Yeah. I got these things, and I go and come in all these different nations, and they look at me. I am white-skinned, green-eyed, and they look at this passport and look at me. They don't even ask me how I got it. They just stamp it. Come on. Because I wouldn't have nothing to tell them in the first place. Just the blessings of God. Look at verse 2 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy in the Amplified. People will be lovers of self. Is this not what it is? Look around you. Don't think in offense at me. Think clearly. Let's look around us, okay? Nearly everybody we know, it's all about themselves. Self-centered instead of God-centered. And we need to overcome that. When I was a demon, and I carried pistols and bowie knives and all that. I was really bad. But it was all about me having a good time, and anybody messed with me, I'd shoot at them. Is that not how you're doing, but with your credit cards and your fancy cars? That is not the will of God for us. Is it? There's a better way. And you can have your nice homes and cars. God's not offended at you about that. He's the one that blessed America. He's the one that did it. But we're the ones that's got to recognize it's Him. It's Jesus. Be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money. Come on, you know this is what's going on. Aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, pride, arrogant, and contemptuous boasters. I could keep you here for hours telling you how blessed I am if I wanted to. The things that God's given me and allowed me to do just that gratifies the flesh more than anything. And I never asked for it. It's just coming in. It's just overrunning us, and there's nothing I can do about it. The only way I can stop it is to stop following God. It's God that's given it. He's the one giving the increase. It's His fault. Get mad at Him about my new shirt. Oh, man. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, profane. Am I not describing how life is around us? It's not life in the streets. It's life in general everywhere. And it's not just in the United States of America. It's everywhere. I traveled, and last year I traveled about 45 different nations. It's everywhere, all levels of society in every nation. It is a spirit bent on killing us. And it must be stopped by faith. Holy Ghost, anointing, power of the gospel. Jesus. Come on, holy. Woo, man, oh man. There will be treacherous betrayers. This is verse 4. There's so many negative words here. I don't like talking about all of them, but I'm going to read them anyway. Treacherous betrayers, rash, inflated with self-conceit, lovers of sensual pleasure and vain amusements, hello, more than and rather than lovers of God. Now, we all know, every one of us know that that I just read how our life is now. And we're going to have to do something about it. It's called the Holy Ghost. It's called the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, remember all that stuff, and let's jump over here to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. This also is amplified, and I don't have time to do the whole chapter, even though I surely do want to. Well, let's start in verse 1 of chapter 2, Hebrews 2:1. Since this is amplified again. Since all this is true, we ought to pay much closer attention than we ever have to the truth that we have heard, at least in any way we drift past them and slip away. For if the message given through angels, the law spoken by Moses, was authentic and proved sure, in every violation and disobedience received appropriate and just and adequate penalty, how are we going to escape appropriate retribution, verse 3. If we neglect and refuse to pay attention to such a great salvation. In my life, I personally am a blessed man. I have been able to stay the course so far. I've had great mentors in my life. There's been 7 men in my life that have rebuked me sharply when I was doing my best and kept me on track. And now the Holy Ghost is allowing me to use that wisdom to help other people. It's a good thing. But our main goal is to be grateful. Do you hear me? In the hard times and in the good times. Right now, I am personally abounding. Everything I touch turns to gold right this second in my life. It is wonderful. And I'm blessed. But it's because of being grateful my whole life. Staying the course and not letting evil or good knock me off of it. Understanding the trueness of the power of God and how I can help thousands of people. I am a blessing going somewhere to do good. Boy, you think a lot of yourself. Could be. Or it could be, I think, a lot of Jesus. It's one of those two, though. At least we got it sorted down to two. And I've never seen pride raise the dead, but I have seen Jesus raise the dead. Holy Ghost. One of the most important things in my life, there's several of them, but one of them is a mother brought me a baby one time in a service. I was talking like I am right now. She just walked straight up and handed me a blanket. Inside, I undid it. Inside, there was a dead baby. Now then, you talk about pressure. So I got about 100 pastors sitting over to my right. And then you got the whole, about 10 or 15 of our churches. It's a whole stack of people. And I got this dead baby, been dead for hours, in my hands. And I look at the guy that's one of our directors, and I said, "Do you know about this?" He just looked at me flat and said, "Yeah." And I says to him, "Well, just out of a little bit of courtesy, why you reckon you didn't tell me about this?" He said, "Now, what's what his answer was? Why?" And I looked at him, I said, "Because the baby's dead." He said, "Yeah, but it's important to feed you." And I'm going, "Oh, dude, you know, something ain't right here." He said, "It's right, Brother David, because you're going to raise it from the dead. Go ahead and pray." Yeah. Did you hear what I just said to you? I said, "I'm not going to do this by myself. You come up here and help me." He said, "Fine." So he came up there. We prayed. All of a sudden, that baby started screaming and crying, kicking. Came back to life. Woo! That's the will of God, okay? And the mother that brought the baby in there to me, she just walked right up there, never said thank you, never said nothing. Just took the baby. I wanted to get a picture. Never even waited on a pose or nothing. Well, I tell you, people are just amazing, aren't they? But I want to show you something here in verse 4. Oh, the baby's fine. Everything's okay. The disease that killed the baby was healed. So everybody's okay. That's a good thing. Look at verse 4. Besides, this evidence is also established and plainly endorsed by God. See, I really appreciate Brother Scott. Them pretty words he told about us and everything and all that, that's awesome. And I do need his friendship and his endorsement. But that's not my life. My life is the endorsement of the Holy Ghost. Understand that? Hello. It says, who showed his approval. See, God, what you got to get is God's approval. Men's approval affects you emotionally and helps you sleep better at night a little bit. And that's not very much. Because the older I'm getting, the less I'm sleeping. And I do everything that I can to make me sleep good, and it don't work anymore. So I don't worry about it much. Every day, somebody they're concerned about me, especially these people over here, my kids. "How'd you sleep last night?" And I tell them, now here's what I tell them.
just like every other night.
I don't see what sleep has to do with it. I see what Jesus has to do with everything.
Well, Brother David,
what? What? If you can't fix it, hush. I don't need another cliche from you. Like, see, let me just tell you what'll anger a guy like me. You want to hear it? All right, I'm preaching a conference. It's a big shot thing. And this prophet comes up and takes my glasses off my head and crumples them up and throws them on the ground. Says, be healed. By Jesus told me to do that. And I'm looking at him. I'm looking at them $300 glasses sitting on the ground. And I can't even look at his eyes and see what color they are. And I'm thinking about that $250 doctor's appointment I had to pay. Now there's $500 in the investment sitting on the ground, smushed. And I asked him, I said, now when is this going to happen? I said, because I can't see. Now what's what his words was? Brother, you have to take it by faith. I said, brother, you touch me again, I'm going to show you faith. If you got the power of God, you can touch me and make these things not work, can't you? Otherwise, back off and leave me alone. I'm working out my salvation the way I'm supposed to. You worry about yours. Oh, see, I can get into this. I've been in this thing my whole life. I know all the tricks. Well, most of them. Y'all are coming up with one or two new ones here and there. What's God's approval? What does the Bible say God's approval is? Signs and wonders and various miraculous manifestations of His power and imparting of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now that right there is the approval of God. Your dress is not approving anything. It's not proving anything. But who endorses you does. Are you endorsed by a stressed out, high, volatile society? Are you endorsed and backed by the great Holy Ghost? I think that's what's valuable. I really do. Now I'm going to show you a couple of pictures. I had so much fun doing this stuff. I'm going to explain them to you. My son-in-law's not here. He's the one with all the details, but we'll try it. You want to throw up a picture? You got one up? Where is it? I can't see them. See them things up there? Can y'all see it? This is not going to scream if I come down here, right? Okay. Let me get down here where I can see them with y'all. Oh, yeah. See, this is India. Siliguri, India. I got invited to go. A Swiss pastor invited me to go to India. And I have not gone there, not because I don't believe I need to be born again, but because God's got me in Mexico. Siliguri, India is surrounded. One of the borders of India, a few miles away from Siliguri, is China, Nepal, Bangladesh. And these places, if you get born again, they will kill you. Hello? Now, right there, that is a three-story awesome facility. You're going to see the inside in just a minute. There's a businessman and his family. They love Jesus, and they let us have that facility for free. So we invited all these pastors to come, and all of these people you're fixing to see, the next time I go, which is, I believe it's next October or September sometime, I'm going back over there again to do another conference with them. 25% of the people you see or fixing to see, they won't be there. They'll have already been killed. Now, I need you to understand what I just said to you. Because you're fixing to see 3,000 pastors and wives. Okay? And I made friends with those people. They're awesome. They come out there. They live in the high Himalayas and Tibet. And they're from all over. Okay? That's who these people are. Next, please. Look at them. You know why they wanted me there? They're hazarding their lives for the gospel. They are dying. They are being martyred. as we speak. These people right here that you see. All right? They wanted me there because I can teach them how to raise the dead. They want to raise the dead. They want to show the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Muslims how to raise the dead. They want to show them the power of God. That's why I got invited. It wasn't because of my pretty suit. You see me in my pretty suit? Next, please. See that lady right there on the carpet? Incurable cancer. 7 days they brought her there to get that meat so I could lay my hands on her. Did you hear me? 7 days through the Himalayas to get to that meat so I could touch her. Isn't that funny? Incurable. You should have seen the tumors hanging off of her. But you should have seen the power of God when He healed her. Yeah. See, that's what's important.
Yeah. Right.
So I can talk to you and tear-jerk you. I can. I'm good at that. I can do it. I don't want to do that. If God can't touch you, why should I worry about it? It's truth, okay?
That's right.
Next, please. Okay, now we left India. This is Pakistan. This is Islamabad, Pakistan. Do you see what are you looking at there? You're looking at 3,000 Muslims. And of those 3,000 Muslims right there, I was freaked out. I want to tell you right now. They're shooting 30 caliber machine gun. Tracers are all over the place, all over us, all around us. Small weapons fires happening all over. Everybody totes guns. I mean, it's wow. It's amazing. And they shoot too. It's wild. Keep you up at night. But you see all of those people? They need Jesus. And they need you to see that they need Jesus. I don't know how many of those people have died. There's no clear percentages because that's Pakistan. Next, please. There I am standing. See my goatee? I'm growing it back out again because I'm on my way. I'll be over there in a few minutes. This year sometime. That man on the right is a doctor. He was a minister of commerce for the nation of Pakistan. They have 2,500 house churches underground. Did you hear that? See, you're not hearing this stuff. I don't know what the people that are going to these places are doing, but they're not telling you numbers. I went and looked for myself. I wanted to know. And I'm the kind of a guy that'll go find out. All right, next. Look at that. What do you see? You see 4,300 people. To get into that service, you had to go through 2 metal detectors. There's 125 armed soldiers inside those walls protecting us. Government issue. And that's some live rounds in the chambers. Man, oh man, oh man. They need Jesus. And conventional church and your nice suits are not going to get them born again. I don't care that you wear your nice suits. That doesn't irritate me one bit. What irritates me is you just sitting where you've been the last 25 years. And you expect God to move for you and heal cancer and raise the dead, but you're sitting in the same spot and give the same meager $2, and then you demand me in the prayer line to heal your cancer. You better get a grip on who you're asking that to. I'm not mad at you, but somebody's got to wake you up because you have the power. You are full of the Holy Ghost. You are the best taught generation that has ever been. And you are doing the least. There are more people coming home from the mission fields now than are going. That's violence for the devil, y'all. We've got to stop that. Please hear me.
I'm going, you know, everybody says, Brother Hogan, all that, man, this intensity, your body won't take it. You're right, it won't. You're right. That's the truth. I agree with you. What are you going to do? I'm going to go to the end, and then I'm through. I'm going to do my part. Next, please. That's our billboards, our signs. They put them all over the Lahore, Pakistan. It's all in their languages. And the only way we got away with it was because the guy on the left is a bishop, and the guy on the right is a head pastor. And if I would have been on either side, they would have been the Muslims would have had authority to attack us. Did you hear me? Everything has to be done precise, and you've got to know what you're doing. I didn't know. They did. And we had 5,000 Muslims saved in 1 week. There was 3,000-something instant miracles. 1 week. 1 week. You save Islam with the power of God. You save Denver the same way.
Yes.
Next, please. Now, y'all like my pointed shoes? Look at them shoes. Let me tell you a story real quick. The way I'm dressed, that's a native Pakistani dress. And they carried us to this market where they sell the clothes for the men. I went in there and I pick out these colors. I had no idea. It just seemed right to me. And I asked them, will this cause any trouble if I wear it? This is not some holy thing. No, it's fine. You're fine, Brother David Gress. All right? So I go and put it on. I walk outside. The place just went into murmuring. I thought, uh-oh. Guess what? The clothes that I picked out, and God showed me how to put them on and how to wear them and everything. Get this. Afghan holy man. Holy Ghost is powerful. I don't know any customs. I know that they eat good bread and it's awesome and good food. That's all I know. Isn't it amazing how God does things? Are you listening to me? Next, please. Okay, you see that boy there? One of y'all that were here last night, you know his story already. That boy was crippled and blind. He's 16 years old. His mother was of the strictest sect of Muslims. She brought that boy up there, laid him down on the stage, and was just looking. Backed up. I mean, you can't see nothing but her eyes. And she's just looking at us. Walk over there in Jesus' name. And right there is where he stood up and started walking for the first time. His blinded eyes opened. And now here's the thing. Except for in the Bible, when's the last time you heard of a person born blind healed? How long's it been? How long's it been? I've got the right to ask that question. Church is not a nice warm pew and a good soft message. Church is the power of God where you learn how to equip yourself in the Holy Ghost. Church is where you go to learn how to get these born blind and crippled people healed. You get equipped to do damage to the kingdom of the demon. Next, please. All right, now I'm back in Mexico. That's my mountains there. You support me? Thank you. This is what I do. Take them big old four-wheel drives and go up in them high mountains and find villages that have never heard the gospel and tell them, you must be born again. Next, please. There's one of our services. That old man in the front. Ermilo, one of my best friends in the world. He cannot read or write. He's one of our elders. He's raised 18 people from the dead. He's 80-something years old. I found him
20-something years ago, three diseases killing him. The village ran when I walked in. He couldn't. And I walked over to him and preached the gospel to him. And ever since then, he's been preaching right along beside me. Now he's raising my grandson in the power of God. This is real, y'all. Ah! Oh, boy. That's one of our churches. That's where Brother Jody preaches. Holy Ghost. Next, please. That man right there doesn't look like much. He's another one of our directors. How many churches is he over now? I don't remember. Huh? 4 or 5? 25. This man here, if I get sick, my wife has instruction. There's three men that's going to pray for me. He's one of them. He's a mountain man. He can't speak Spanish. He can't read. He can't write. But he quotes the Bible like he wrote it. And he raises the dead and heals the sick. I appreciate your intellect. I would never challenge it. I am all for your knowledge, your schools. I'm for it. But that's not what it takes to raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out devils. It takes faith. It takes loving Jesus. Now I have faced it. These people have trained me in the power of God. Next, please. If there's another one, I don't know. Oh, yeah. This is another one of our conferences. You see, I have a jacket on it. Got to 50 degrees that day. Dropped from 100 to 50. We had about 500 folks there that morning. They brought in a man in a chair. Had a stroke. A good friend of mine also. Had a stroke. Brought him in. And they said, what do we do with him? I said, set him right down front. We set him down front. We started the service. Started preaching and shouting and kicking and snorting and bucking the way we do it. It wasn't, I guess it was that next day, he come back, completely healed. They brought him there. We had to hold him in the chair and he couldn't talk. The next time I saw him, he was walking and talking and he walked straight up to me, a little bitty fella about that tall. He walked up, Hermanito David, Brother David. Thank you. Gracias para el Evangelio. Tiene poder. Thank you for the gospel. It has power. Isn't it awesome? Next, please. You see that? We got to cross those rivers. You see that? We carry those people in the back of those trucks. Every one of y'all have two or three cars. You have all the great foods. You have the nice homes. You have... We don't. But we have the power of God. Next, please. There's our elders. That's all of them right there. All of those men, every one of those have... There's not a man there that has raised less than 15 people from the dead. And you see where we're eating? We're eating on boards tied together with bejuco. Bejuco is vines. That's a soup for breakfast. It's really hot. But it's awesome. Man, I love those men. God's given me an army. And we're bad. I'm serious. Hey, what's this? A governor's aide in the state of Hidalgo, it's a state down in central Mexico, got sick. They put it on the radio. They called out one of these elders by name and said, we need you to come and pray because we've done all the medicine, all the witchcraft, and we cannot get him healed and we don't want him to die. A governor of a state. Do you hear me? That's awesome. So we went. He was healed. Isn't that something? It is. Is there any more? I don't know. Oh, yeah, look. I grow my hair out when I'm in the mountains.
That's my armor bearer at Louis. I love those mountains. I love those people, and I'm thankful to God that I am not a coward. I'm a soldier for the Holy Ghost. Is that the last one? Okay. Thank you. Thank y'all for y'all's time there. Holy Ghost. Give me one more verse, please. Over here in Revelation chapter 3. Holy Ghost. I just want to read one verse. I might read both of them. Revelation 3, verse 7 and 8. You got to know what it's like to go in Pakistan where you have to go through metal detectors to get to church. While I was there, I watched them take down men and women because they thought had smuggled bombs into the services. I watched them take them down. It's not a pretty sight. In church. You know what they told me? They sent us an email. Brother David, it's got out of hand. We're going to get a stadium next time you come, and we're going to have to depend on God because there won't be enough soldiers. I sent an email back. Make it so. What if God wants to cause a revival amongst the Muslims? What if God wants to cause a revival amongst the Hindus? What if God wants to cause a revival amongst the Buddhists? What if He lets us start it? What if He lets us be part of it? What if He lets courage arise in our spirits? I know all the doubts and things that's hitting y'all's minds and the what else and the yell buts. I've already thought about them before it came to you. And my answer is, make it so. I want to speak courage to you. You're not going to get Denver by sitting in here on these nice chairs. You got to pray in here and get yourself equipped and get a vision and get an idea and go and implement that idea. And God will expand it. There was a man flew from Malawi, Africa, to Siliguri, India. It's thousands of miles. Black man came. He's a pastor. They have, I don't know, a few thousand churches. And he came there up on the platform with me, and he got down on his knees. And he said, "We need you in Malawi." I said, "I don't even know where it's at." He said, "We'll help you with the geography." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, what do you need me? How many churches you got?" He told me it was a few thousand. I know it was a bunch. What do you need me for? "Brother David, we've got the machinery, but we don't know how to use it." I said, "I'll be there." Zimbabwe. We're going there with Brother Wes. And Sean's not here. I can't tell you the exact date, but it's June, I think. I don't remember. South Africa. We're going there first, Zimbabwe second. "But Brother David, we know about the war, the genocide that's taking place." "Yeah, I know about it also." "What do you think is going to stop it? More bombs? Bigger guns? Y'all consider yourself green up here?" "I don't. I consider myself full of the Holy Ghost. It's not being green going to stop demons. It's being full of God's going to stop it. You hear me?" And I'm attacking you where it hurts you the most. And I mean it. Church, we've got to arise to the power of God. I'm leaving Malawi and going to Nigeria. Do you know the only way to get to the platform at the church is to get in a car and drive? They have the largest church in the world. It's 1,200,000 people in it that attend every Sunday. I'm going there to preach in a few months. Oh, my God. I can't wait. I've never seen a million people in a pile before. I'm fixing to. What if God, you raise your hands and the whole Holy Ghost just knocks them out? What would that be like? Huh? You better get in this dream because it's working, y'all. It's called the Holy Ghost. Here we go. Revelation 3, verse 7. And the angel, also in the Amplified, messenger of the assembly church in Philadelphia, write, these are the words of the Holy One, the true one. He who has the key of David. Boy. Apologize. Who opens and no one shall shut. Who shuts and no one shall open. God has opened the world to me. He's given me nations of peoples that I didn't know existed. And every time I open my mouth, thousands get born again and healed. I never knew that 32 years ago when I was on my way to Mexico and Jody was a little boy, little bitty boy. My daughter Crystal was here, a grown woman last night, got her own family, a little baby this big. We went into Mexico. I was just worried about one village. Now my village is the planet. Did you hear me? And we will win. Brother David, you can't expect us to believe that you believe that. I said we will win. But Brother David, they're beating us. Every hand, every turn, legislation, governments. I said we will win. But people, they're backsliding, they're traitors, they're... I know. I said we will win. When God opens it, no man can shut it. When God shuts the demon off, no man can open it. Will you please stand? Don't take Papa's book, are you? All right, little brother, thank you. Holy Ghost. Listen. I got mad at the church. Went and found me a good job. Started making me thousands of dollars a month. I was enjoying myself. I was eating good. Had good guns. Had a nice four-wheel drive. But I sure was mad, fella. And the Holy Ghost didn't say a word to me. Just come out there one day and got me. Jerked a knot in me and brought me back. He said, now I got a job for you. I don't want to do it. Don't make any difference. See, you think you've got will. You've been taught all sorts of doubt because you think you have rights to vote God in and out. I apologize, but that's not true. Your right is to bow to Jesus and let Him do with you what He wants to. That is your right. That is my right. And it's a great one. Now, church, I want to pray with you. Oh. Forgot again. Well, at least you can see that that's not my main priority. We're going to take a pause. He's going to do something.
I asked him if we could, so you know his heart. But we want to sow a seed real quick before we get a chance just to turn this into just a crazy time of prayer and seeking God. So if you'd like to, Pastor Dan did a great time of challenging earlier to sow seed. If you want to sow seed into some fertile soil, you want to see these kind of things happen, you know, I believe it's time. We want to bless the ministry. So if you could, maybe you need to have a quick seed real quick, prepare, and we'll take a quick offering and then turn it over. And then if you need prayer, I want you to be hungry. I want you to press in to get whatever you can this morning. But please take a moment right now, make out your checks to PIM and everything. We're just going to bless the man of God and the ministry that's going all over the nations right now. So I want you to please do this. We want to be a blessing. You've been blessed this morning? We want to be a blessing. So please, Father, we just pray right now.
Amen.
You would speak to us to give what you want us to give, to be a blessing, Lord. But we don't hear this word too much the way that it's been presented today. That's what we need more of. We need more of somebody to stand on our face and tell us the truth. Somebody point a finger and say, that's God. That's the right way. Lord, today I pray right now that all of this congregation, people, will be able to bless this ministry. I know, Lord God, they're not sitting on their nice little buildings. They're not building their own kingdoms. They're not. Lord, they're going all over. They're working hard. They're working faithful. Lord, they push themselves to the limit. So, Lord, what an awesome opportunity we have to sow into this ministry, and we do it right now in Jesus' name. Will you please, please be faithful this morning. Please, just sow a seed. And now get hungry. Get hungry to press in. Whether it's for the fire of God, whether it's for healing, whatever, press in. Let's just have a live faith this morning, a faith that believes. And let's just trust God. Thank you again one more time, Brother Hogan, for being here.
Yes, sir.
We love you. We bless you.
Yes, sir. Holy Ghost. If you will, just start worshiping Jesus right where you are, the way you know how. It's fine. Pakistan, and they have these guards around me all the time with these big guns and all that. This woman walks up. And she's got this little baby about 3 or 4 years old. And the baby's foaming at the mouth. And his eyes are bugged out. It's got devils, you know. She laid that thing down behind those guards. And she looked at me and she started hollering at me. I couldn't understand her. I asked them finally, what is she saying? She's begging you for mercy. I said, okay, she's got it. What do you want? It was real simple. I want my baby back. I said, all right. Y'all, I'm not kidding you. That baby was for like 2.5 years grinding its teeth, growling and snarling and foaming, and it was horrible. Both arms was all twisted up. It was horrible. And that mama's sitting there, she's down on her knees begging for mercy. It's illegal. It's against the law for me, being a foreigner, to touch a woman. I cannot touch her. So I walked over there beside her. I mean, I got police and soldiers all around watching. And then I'm born again. I put my hand about 2 inches above her head. I said, mercy is yours. Isn't that easy? Instantly, the baby was healed. Did you hear me? Y'all got to get a copy on this. You got to understand what I'm telling you. You got to pick this up. You've got to let this Spirit of God come in you. Please. It isn't about me. Do you understand? Look at me. I'm fine. I'm happy fella. I'm blessed. Man, my family loves me. Jesus loves me. Our work is doing great. I mean, I'm all right. I'm going to be all right. More than likely. Odds are high that I will be okay. But there's people around that's not. They need us. They need us. But Brother David, I'm not you. I can't do. I know you're not me. I realize you have messed your life over real big. I haven't. But we start today making wise decisions, making good decisions, taking the steps to be right in the Holy Ghost. Okay? And we make a difference now. Now. Today. We don't wait for something else. I'm friends with Brother Raven Hill and Brother Gorman, those guys that's coming here. I know those men. Pretty good, actually. And, you know, but it's not about that. It's not when they get here. It's about us today with the Holy Ghost. Just start worshiping God right there. Just lift your hands up to Jesus. I want to do two things right off the bat here. I want two things. If you don't know Jesus or you're backslid, I want you to come down here right away. Or if you love Jesus, but you feel like in your spirit, you've let him down, and you want to get over that right now, come. God's not mad at you. You come right now. Heaven loves you. I'm not going to condemn you. That's not what I'm here for. You can't believe the help that's in the power of God, in the anointing. I'll mention to him, please. Don't need some ushers. Y'all just come on down. Don't be ashamed or afraid. That shame has held you in that seat long enough. That fear is not your source of power and energy. Jesus is. Should have seen that woman get saved after her daughter got healed. Oh, it was wonderful. Is this everyone? Is there somebody else? We'll give you one more opportunity. I remember sitting back there in them chairs about to blow up my breath. The anointing was so strong, but something was just holding me down. And now I know it to be the devil, the hate, the envy, the strife. Man, please come to freedom. Please. Two more things I want to do. I'm going to have to leave straight after service. I got to go up in the middle of y'all state. Have another meeting this evening. But I want to pray with you. But listen to me. If you need healing in your body, and it does not make any difference how many times you've been prayed for, that is not doubt. That's agreement. Come up here. If you need the fire of God in the presence of Jesus, come. 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 I'm the first in line. I want more of the Holy Ghost. I want more of the fire of God. Come on, anointing. Come on, blessing. Jesus. All right. Come on, great Holy Ghost. You ready, ushers? I want you to call out. If you're sick in your body, I want you to call that out to God. Ask Him for mercy. If you're hurting in your spirit, if somebody has offended you, I need you to let it go. One of the reasons I'm a soldier, I'm a warrior, a fighter, I'm everything, all of those things. But God has somehow let me let things go by me. I don't hold them. I don't hold them. I don't want to. I want to let it go. I want the power of God. There's people here today that's going to be touched that otherwise would never receive a touch. You hear me? We've got to let it go by us. We've got to let things that want to attach itself to us and bring us down, we've got to let them go. And we do that in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost. If you want the fire of God, call out for it with your spirit. Call out to the great God of power. Healing and health and life and peace. Great Holy Ghost. Powerful Holy Ghost. Come and touch us, Mighty One, Holy One, Worthy One. Jesus. Come, power of God, touch us. Touch us, mercy.
There is one day in your day. There is one day in your day. All I need is you.